You are very welcome to Cawley's Call with me, Alan Cawley, powered by Benetti Menswear, a topical debate show covering all things Irish football, along with 1v1 interviews with top-class sports stars from a wide range of different sports.
It's me that's putting on the green jersey, me that's going to take flak from people to say, you're not even Irish. I was big enough to say, I'm going to take it.
There's many people I've spoke to, they always say, I used to put money on you scoring the first goal, but I've never seen any of that money, though.
And Andy, he says, I want the performances that I got from you in Scotland with you under 16s, not that rubbish that you gave me over in Oslo.
Hi everyone, and you're very welcome to Series 3, Episode 9 of Cawley's Call, a special show that we have today because the poster boy of the League of Ireland is in with us today, and I'm absolutely delighted. We've been on to him for a bit to get him in, Mr. Jack Byrne. It was his birthday at the weekend as well, so happy birthday, Jack.
Thanks, Al.
Good to see you. And just to change it up a little bit as well, folks, as I said, it is a bit of a special show, not only to have Jack in, but we also have his longtime friend, Niall Flynn, and he's going to talk to us maybe about just, I suppose, the early days with Jack growing up, the friendship that they've built up, the family friendship, all that kind of stuff, because we're kind of sick of hearing about Jack at Man City and all these clubs, for now, to be honest with you. But no, it's good to see you, Jack. How are you?
Yeah, all good, yeah.
Yeah?
Good to be back. Good to be back playing. We're doing well. Last couple of weeks, so looking forward to the next couple of weeks.
Earlier on, actually, just flicking through Instagram, put a post up. It's been a good couple of weeks, so obviously the three victories, and you've turned 26.
It's been good. It's been a good couple of weeks. Had a good result for early night. Obviously, only in birdie the weekend. So it's been positive, you know. I think the club needed that. I think we kind of needed to string a few results together, because, you know, we obviously knew that they're obviously top of the table and we're chasing them, you know, and we needed to keep on their tails and keep winning games, and, you know, they obviously dropped points and we picked up points and, you know, we played some very good teams, so. You know, we're obviously all very happy, and, you know, we just continue like that now, hopefully.
Yeah, because that's the thing. We will get right into, I suppose, where you're at the moment, the season, the last few matches, but I suppose just the fact that you did have such a good week, Pats, Dundalk, obviously Bowes Friday night, that's a massive week. Yeah. And especially coming off the back of what people were saying for you, by your standards, not you individually, the team standards, Shamrock Rovers, 2 defeats, 2 wins out of the first 4 games. Yeah. People are thinking, oh, they're not up to scratch. But 100%. Then I think the last 8 is that you won 6 and drew 2. So I even put a tweet out last weekend that it's certainly looking ominous for the other teams when you're hitting that kind of form.
I definitely would agree with people as well in the start we made, although, you know, obviously we didn't lose badly in the games that, you know, we probably thought we probably should have won the games and certainly shouldn't have lost the games. And Pico obviously makes a mistake up in Derry, and you know, we don't take our chances away at Pats and this, and then obviously Sligo, you're going 2-0 down at half time, you give yourself a mountain to climb.
Funny, I was at that as well. It was unbelievable to be 2 down, and you should have been 5 up after the first 15 minutes.
And that's just the way it was going, you know. And it was obviously it was Derry playing well as well. You know, they were winning games. I think they won. What was it? 7 and drew maybe 1.
Yeah.
And obviously beat us, took 3 points off us, and obviously put 3 points towards them. So obviously swung it a little bit in their favour. But we've obviously had a good weekend, and you know, we've got back to looking more like ourselves.
I'd say we'll come back to all that. The party celebrations.
Yeah, the less celebrated, the better.
That's what we bring you in, Niall. Tell us, give us all the gory details. Are we out running amok?
No, I was at Ed Sheeran.
I was at Ed Sheeran myself some night.
God help you.
Sunday night.
Saturday night.
Yeah, brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
I took the kids on Sunday night, and he was unbelievable to be holding the whole stage, one man on his own, like Jack in the middle of Tallaght. There he's.
I've been to see him twice actually. Brilliant.
Yeah,
very good.
He is. He's absolutely amazing.
Very romantic.
You like that stuff,
do
you?
I do like it.
I see you're in love as well. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we'll get into that later as well.
I'd say Jackie's delighted you're in love now. Yeah,
wow, yeah, keeping me on the wraps.
A good woman looking after you. But we will, as I say, come back to all that. Niall, the reason we had you in as well, because I think the first I read about this was before the cup final. I think it was David Snead did a brilliant piece, and obviously your mum came out of it the star that she is, Jackie, and obviously telling the story about years ago with Jack growing up, and there was a lot of talk and hype about him as a young player, young schoolboy player, and then unfortunately his dad passed away, and I think more or less you stepped in almost and became a really close family friend, not just to Jack, but to the whole family, and almost like brothers nearly.
Yeah, well, I suppose before Jack's dad sadly passed away, I would have been very close to the family anyway. Jack's older brother, Stephen, was my best friend, so I would have been down in the house regularly.
What's the age difference, sorry?
Between myself and Jack?
Yeah.
10 years now.
Okay. Yeah. You're looking well on it, Niall. Yeah. Tell you what, he looks
well,
isn't
looking
he?
Bad. Just still grey hairs.
It's the moisturiser.
I wouldn't have said 10 years now. Because no, it's just that the reason I ask is obviously if you were friends with Stephen, who's his older brother, yeah. I was just curious about the ages. But it doesn't look, you look very well.
Thanks, Al.
for the people listening at home.
They're the same age. Flinnar and Steele are the same age. So they would have played together. Schoolboy football and
Your brother played as well, did he, Jack?
Yeah, my brother played. Stella Myers, wasn't it?
Yeah, we played for Stella the whole way through. Myself and Steele, I think he left towards the end to go to Belva, but we had a good side.
Yeah,
Joey O'Brien, Sean Williams, Gary Dicker,
good side.
Dave Gellibert, really good side, like, you know. So that's how myself and Steven became close. And then obviously John would have been at every game, Jack's dad, and yeah, he was just really good to me, really good person. I know, I suppose it's probably easy to say when people aren't around that they were a great person, but you won't ever hear anyone say a bad word about him. Just such a, if there was 100 people in a room and 99 people thought there was a bad person, John would find the good in him, like, you know, and that's just who he was. And obviously the whole community was devastated when he passed away. But I suppose an image that sticks in my mind to this day was kind of seeing Jack looking over his dad's coffin at 11, because I have a son myself now at 13. And, you know, I spend hours and hours a week travelling to games and stuff like that with him and chatting and talking. And obviously Jack would have done that with his dad as well. But I suppose for that to be taken away for you at 11, you know, just doesn't, beggars belief, like, you know. So to see Jack go on and do what he's done is just incredible. Like, you know, I know in this country we have a little begrudgery about us, you know, and we look to knock people at times. But I mean, for him to pick himself up at 11 and go on and do what he's done and play for his country, which his dad always said he would, is just incredible, like, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. You're getting me all emotional now, Niall. but it's important that, I suppose, you give people, paint that picture, because if you don't mind me saying, Jack, okay, I wouldn't have known Jack. Obviously, I knew all about you, but we've kind of built up a little bit of a friendship or whatever over the last few years since you've been back playing. And there would have always maybe been that perception that if you went to City as a young kid with all the talent, and you might have bounced around to two or three clubs, and people might think, oh, is there an issue with Jack as to why he's moving or whatever. And I think you came on, I was doing the radio show 192 FM, and I came off and whether it was me or not, now I didn't have that perception, I didn't know you, but you're listening to maybe others or whatever, and I remember coming off, you spoke so well and came across so down to earth and level headed. You had just signed for Shamrock Rovers the first time around. I remember going home in the car thinking, my God, that lad sounds like a great lad. And it's been borne out now as I've got to know you, and every time I hear you speak and you come across so well, and no matter what the hype or the success, such a down-to-earth, level-headed lad as well, and you'd only wish good things for you. But even though you were only 11 when your dad passed away, that was obviously a lot of your dad's influence on you that has the way you are now.
Ah, yeah, 100%. And I had good people around me, you know. I always had good people around me. And I think I maybe had that perception when I was in England or in the UK. There was always rumours flying around of, maybe because I was so talented when I was a kid, and there was obviously big hype about me why I was moving around to certain clubs and why I wasn't working, and I can see that as well, you know. But a lot of it wasn't, you know, down to me. It was down to situations at clubs, and I was bouncing around and I was trying to find a good fit and a home, really, you know. And I found that when I came back here, and you know, I could kind of get my personality across, and I think people kind of, you know, started to understand the kind of character that I was. And I think them things are in the past now, and I think, you know, rightly so. You would have known, just when I was a kid, there would have always been talk about me, and always, you know, people wanting to say.
At what stage, like, did you know, Niall, kind of, as you say, there was always the talk around the Dublin circles, I say, about this young kid or whatever, but obviously you know the game, you played the game, you mentioned Stephen played the game. At what stage did you start to think, like, this fella has a bit of talent?
Yeah, well, I suppose from, you know, playing at a decent schoolboy level myself, the best at 11 isn't always the best at 14, 15, but I think Jack was a little bit extra special. I think if you ask Joe Quinn, as manager at Kevin's, or Alan Caffrey, when they knew him probably from 8 and 9, they probably knew, they probably, you know, had a little shit on their hands, but they also had a really good player, like, you know. And
so you could tell that early. Because the reason I say that as well is, see, I've a little lad, 9, and you're helping out with the coaching and you see little teams play. And I'd be of the same opinion as you that it's impossible to tell 8, 9, 10 once fellas grow up and be bigger and stronger. And other lads are 15, 16, 17, but you could tell straight away.
Yeah, you could tell. Like, he had something special. Like, you know, I probably don't remember a better schoolboy player. Myself and Stephen played for Stella, and on the sideline of every game, well, not every game, but a lot of games, would have been Robbie Brady and Jack knocking the ball to each other, because Robbie's older brother played for us as well, Darren. Mm-hmm. And you could always tell he just had a ball at his feet all the time, and he was that bit special, like, you know. And I think sometimes we don't celebrate players like Jack enough, you know, not just Jack because he's sitting here, but I think we look to find what they're not good at rather than what they actually can do. Like, we've plenty of players in the Irish team that can run around and win the ball back. Have we got people like Jack? Not just Jack, I'm sure there's plenty of others. You know, we don't have an awful lot of them. I think in other countries in Europe, they're celebrated. You know, I think we don't celebrate them enough here. Like, you know, I think the old thing of size is still floating around. But with Jack's, even though he's not the biggest, I think it was always a case that he was going to go to the UK. And
it's funny you say that, because you're 10 years older. I'm even older than that. So I'm 14 years older.
You don't look too bad yourself.
I'm doing okay, am I?
We must be using the same moisturiser.
He speaks a lot of sense, this fella. But the closest comparison I could use was Wezzo. So I would have played, funny enough, with Belvedere as well, with Wezzo. My dad, going back to even your story there about John being at all the matches, and now you're looking after your young lad, and I'm the same. My dad brought me here, there and everywhere, and without him. So I could only imagine, Jack, what it was like to lose your dad at 11, because my dad is still around, thankfully, and it would break my heart now to if something like that happened. Yeah. But just, I suppose, as I say, Wezzo was the one that, and the first day I ever went up to Belvedere, didn't know anyone, knew the managers, Vincent Butler was looking after the team, brought us in. And I remember we were warming up. I've often told the story, but remember we were warming up. But this little fella, now when I say little fella, and he was just kicking the ball around. And I was thinking to myself, because we were under 15, there was a few big lads, and I was thinking to myself, this fella couldn't be playing, like, he's tiny, like, you know. And next thing, called in after the little warm up, and we threw out the jerseys, and number 11, bang, over to Wezzo. So in my head, because I knew no one, I was thinking, he actually is playing, we'll have to mind this little fella, you know. So I went over to my dad, threw over like a warm up top, and he even says to me, he says, is the little fella playing? And I says, well, they're after giving him a jersey, dad. So, and he says, well, mind him, he says. So we went out anyway, game kicked off, ball goes out to Wezzo on the wing, and sure, the rest is his. He was flicking it through fellas' legs or over their head. And I was fortunate enough to play with him then and go on and watch him kind of throughout his career. But exactly as you say, Niall, at that age, Wezzo wasn't getting a look in. We'd go up to Irish squads, no sign of Wezzo. Fellas would be coming to me saying, what's the story? And it was purely down to the wooden picking because of his size.
Yeah.
And like, it's a scandal. Now, thankfully, he got the career that he deserved. Yeah. But it's an absolute scandal to think it was years after that before he started to kind of flourish.
Yeah, well, I think another thing about it is as well, is I think, you know, when people like Jack and other people come back from the UK, you know, at young ages, people seem to write them off and think that's it, that's done. I think Wezzo probably only went when he was 25, 26, which is what age Jack is now, you know. Mm. And look at the career he's still playing now, you know. So, I mean, you know, size means nothing to me, you know, it means absolutely nothing. And it was never a problem with Jack. He was always the standout one of his age group, in my opinion, biased opinion. But obviously,
On the one there, Jack, I suppose, if you don't mind me asking, because obviously we brought it up, and the reason why you're so close and the friendship that you have and the family friendship. At 11, if you don't mind me asking, like, because you're a real happy-go-lucky type lad, you always have a smile on your face. Just how difficult was it?
Yeah, it was very difficult to deal with, and not only for me, for the rest of the family, it was probably more difficult for them maybe than me, because I still didn't really know what was going on. I was only a kid.
Is it just the one other brother, Stephen?
No, I've got two other brothers and one sister. So, you know, obviously my mother as well, you know, she's obviously after losing her husband, and you know, she's obviously going through that, and it's probably harder to see what it's the effect that it has on other people around you. And actually, you probably don't realise what it's doing to you at that time. But I had, you know, great people there to help me and step in. And you know, when I was a kid, I really, after that happened, football was kind of my getaway, really. And you know, my mother was brilliant, Flynn was brilliant, my brothers were brilliant. They'd step in, they'd bring me to training, and they'd, you know, they helped keep me mind off things. But it wasn't only, you know, when he passed away, when I was 11, he obviously very sick from the time I was 9. You know, I used to go out and play games, and my father would love to be at all the games, but he was obviously in hospital for about, I'd say, probably a year and a half before he passed. You know,
so
obviously,
he knew it was serious then? Kind
yeah,
of?
Look, he had tongue cancer, and, you know, we obviously had an operation to get half of his tongue out, so we couldn't speak. So he was obviously in hospital doing a lot of rehab for that, obviously, big operation. So we used to go play games, and, you know, my brother and Flynn and all of them would be on the sideline, record the games. And I used to love going up to the hospital then and watching the games with him. Although we couldn't speak, like, it was a nice moment. And
would you do that all the matches?
Yeah, well, most of the games, yeah. That, you know, I remember we bought a camcorder, basically, so we could go up and we could show my dad the games. And I loved that, you know what I mean? As a kid, you don't realise, you're going up, you're 9, 10 years of age, you know. So you don't realise the extent of what's happening. When I look back now, I obviously do, and if, you know, a young kid or whatever was going through that, I'd say it must be really tough. But at the time, you don't really grasp, because you're only a kid, you know. Yeah. I was 9 years of age. I was 11 when he passed, and I was 13, 14 probably when I moved away, you know, and that's the rest is history, really, you know.
So then, as I say, like, obviously, we go back to the age thing again. So you were 21 then at this stage, Niall.
I was 21, yeah.
Yeah, so you're on about the driving and bringing him here. So was that a conscious decision on your part? You feel like you seem like a very mature lad, and obviously speaking there, but was that a conscious decision on your part, because you said how John would have been always brought him to the matches, or would you have been chatting to Stephen or Jackie and was kind of saying, look, I'll step in and help out and bring him here, there and everywhere?
Nobody else in the house drove at the time. John, so that's how John was the rock of the family, like, you know. And as Jack said, football was a distraction for him. He was kind of, I know it was an awful decision, or an awful situation, but he had an escape in football, you know. Whereas Jodie, his sister, who was probably 15 at the time, she probably didn't have the same escape, so it may have been even more difficult for her, you know. But she was obviously a big part of Jack's, you know, helping Jack as well. She was his older sister, like, you know. But at the time, yeah, I was 21. I just had a kid myself, actually. And, I probably had a conversation with Theo and Jackie, and they were probably concerned that nobody in the house drove. So I suppose John was always very good to me. Like, you know, he was there for me at times when I needed him. And I just kind of spoke with them. We agreed that I'd, you know, bring him to his games until they got on their feet. Like, a little bit. Jackie didn't drive at the time at all. Stephen didn't drive, so... Yeah, that's just but after a while, it just became, like, we would have went to his games anyway, you know, but with the driving thing, it just became habit then, and, you know, it became kind of, I wouldn't have gone without it. My mother and father used to mind my little fella while my wife was in work, and used to go every week, every game, chicken fillet roll on the way home.
Yeah, it was lovely, like, you know what I mean? It was great for me. I had, you know, people coming out watching me play. You're a kid, you want to try and impress, you know what I mean, your family. And so I loved it. I loved all that. Looking back now, some great memories, like, you know. And then even coming over to, like, we've had some great times in Manchester, you know, early days playing for City under 18s, UEFA Youth League games, and even under 15 games down in Liverpool. And
you'd be going over and all night, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you be going for the game or going?
a bit of both.
Well, I think, to be fair, if anyone deserved to be going over to enjoy himself,
yeah. But, like, it was great, because it just felt normal then, you know. Yeah. It was just coming over, watching games, and it was just like, you know, because as a kid, you probably feel a little bit homesick, and you probably feel as if you're missing out on, you know, them kind of things, where, you know, you're around people all the time, going watching your games, and then you're in England, in the UK, and that's not happening on a regular basis. And I always loved when people came over, so you could, you know, they could watch you play, and you could have a chat about the games and all that, just normal stuff.
And would it be normal to say the boys going home after, would they give you a bit of stick or say, look, you didn't do this?
Probably would, yeah. Yeah, but even now, like, you know, I still take it.
Well, I wouldn't call it a bit of stick, Al. I'd call it honesty.
Honest appraisal.
A lot of people tell, you know.
Some people don't like honesty. I tell people the truth, and they don't like it. His manager won't even talk to me.
And me. But no, it's nice to have realists around you, you know what I mean? And I think that's always helped me in my career, although sometimes you don't agree with it and you might not pick the phone up for 2 or 3 days, or you might, you know, you might not be happy about some things that they might say to you. But at the end of the day, I know football and I know myself, so most of the time you end up agreeing with it and you pick the phone up and
you never agreed with it.
No, just, you're 26 now, so obviously maturing all the time. But I found, Jack, and I don't know if it's the same for you, I presume so, but for young lads that go away 15, 16, 17, I always found you had to mature that bit quicker and grow up that bit quicker. Yeah. So obviously you went earlier than me at 13, 14. So even though you're 26 now and I'm saying you're maturing, you're obviously very mature for your age anyway. But how good are you at criticism? Did you take it on board?
It got better. Yeah. No, do you know what? From an early age...
For people listening, Niall is shaking his head here.
Do you know what it is? From an early age, I've been criticised. Do you know what I mean? I've been praised or I've been criticised.
In what sense?
There's always been something said about me, because basically you're supposed to be, you know, probably one of the main players if you're playing for Ireland, or if you're playing for Man City, or, you know, so you're always going to have people saying stuff to you, so they're either going to criticise you or say you played well, and you don't play well every week. Mm. So a lot of the time you are getting criticised, you know, and that's just the way it is, and I've had to deal with that. You know, you're going on trials at 11, 12, 13, they all don't go well. Mm. You know, so you might get feedback that you might not have expected, you know, from certain clubs. You could go to Chelsea one week and they love you. You could go to United next week and they don't love you, you know. And
well, I think that's the beauty of football. It's all opinions based,
so,
you know.
It is. Absolutely, exactly. Yes. And you know, I have an opinion. You know, I watch football and I have an opinion. So people watch football and have an opinion on me, that's no problem. You know, that's just the way the game is. And that's why we love the game, and that's why we watch the game, because it's never the same thing every week. And, you know, you always have the chance, if you do have a bad game, or, you know, if somebody doesn't, you know, raid you, you always have the chance to prove them wrong. So
when you were, obviously, as you say, 8, 9, 10, 11, and there was a lot of talk about you, how, again, you're so young, but how aware of that are you thinking?
Ah, no, I knew I was a good player when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I would have thought that, you know, even if I was playing for Ireland, or if I was going on trials, I didn't think there was a better player than me when I was going to some of these clubs, you know.
Okay.
And
but do you find that's interesting you say that? Because I remember the first time, my dad, we were obviously from Sligo, different from Dublin, and I kind of found that out then when I came up to Belvedere. But when you're growing up as a kid in Sligo, you think, this is it. We didn't even know where Dublin was, really, and it was just you're playing with your little schoolboy club and schoolboy team. And I remember the day that dad came in and says to me, you're going to Leeds on trial, and I kind of looked at him as much as say, really, like, for what, like, you know, kind of, this is the view and perception. And another young lad came from Sligo with me, and we went over literally thinking, oh, I don't know what we're going over here for, like, these fellas will be amazed. One training session and you're like, we're every bit as good as these, you know. And sometimes I find it's maybe different for you, Jack, because you are obviously very talented and confident lad, but sometimes I think, and Niall mentioned it there, that we knock ourselves a lot, we talk ourselves down, we don't talk ourselves up. But like, you're playing in a Shamrock Rovers team with some serious quality and serious talent at the 100%. moment, you know, that are every bit as good as lads playing League 1, League 2 or whatever, Championship or whatever you want.
Graham Bourke and Danny Mandrew and Dylan Watson, you're trying to tell me that these players can't play across the water or play for Ireland? Of course they can. You know, I think so anyways, you know. I think that some of the best players that I've played with, you know, and I'd like to think I've played with some good players. You know, it's competitive squad, competitive league at the moment. You know, I think we always seem to do okay in Europe, and you know, I think from being in Europe only recently and being in Europe twice, we certainly, you would have watched a lot of the games when we played in Holland. Couldn't have watched any of them in Abbeville.
But, can I ask you about that as well, right?
Abbeville or Holland?
Well, the Holland thing,
one of them.
The Holland thing was obviously a roaring success.
But not for the whole 12 months.
Okay.
That's what people would
that's what I would have thought now. So, but it wasn't.
No.
But by the end of it, it was going very well.
Yeah.
Was there the option then to stay on rather than come back to the likes of an Oldham or a Blackburn or whatever?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there was. I just didn't have the top three. And that was Feyenoord at the time, Ajax and PSV. And the rest of the teams over there, I think, would have took me.
Okay.
And I knew that.
But what was your reasoning for coming back that time after things had gone
because
so well?
Because the top three wouldn't take me.
OK. Okay, you wanted to play at one of them?
Yeah, I wanted to play at one of them. I thought I'd done well enough against the top three, and I thought if I stayed out there for the extra year, what was I going to achieve more than what I was achieving at the what I had got out of Cambo.
And is it fair to ask the question, if you did stay out for the extra year, they would have seen more of you, look, and they might have taken it in?
It was a mistake. You know, it was a mistake. You know, I should never have went to Blackburn. But when you were 19, 20 years of age, and you're after doing so well in Holland, you're fearless, and you know, you think you can go to Blackburn and go straight into the team, and you've got Owen Coyle ringing you and saying, you know, you're going to be a similar path to Jack Wilshere and Daniel Sturridge, and you know, you're taking these phone calls, you think this sounds great, and Pep Guardiola is going to be at the games on a Tuesday night when he's not taking the first team, you know, the first team down playing, you're like a kid, like, you think this is brilliant, you know what I mean, this is perfect, showing a real keen interest.
That's all learning.
When you look
life,
back,
life,
you know, that's life. It's
I wouldn't even call them mistakes, Jack, in the sense that these are all part of growing up and your life. And as I say,
it just didn't work.
The one thing I always look back on with people and they ask you about different things, and I always say, right, so you're saying 18, 19 there, you were at that stage. If you were to go down into the city centre there and speak to a lorry driver, a busman, a postman, anyone, any job that they do, and say, would you change anything at 18 or 19? Yeah. The whole country had changed something about 18 or 19. So I'd never look at it as mistakes as such. It's growing up and you live, you learn by these decisions.
I think going back to that time, there was a couple of people, you know, there was kind of a couple of whispers that maybe the championship wasn't for Jack. Mm. And, you know, it wouldn't suit him, you know. But I think Jack probably heard about that as well. You know, Jack got wind of it, and I think he probably wanted to prove people wrong. Mm. And obviously, Blackburn were a big club, and Championship was a great level at 18, 19. Kind of confidence sky high on the back of us, the way he finished over in Holland. And I think he was probably very eager to prove people wrong. And obviously, hindsight's a great thing, like, you know. But I think the lifestyle in Holland, not just the football, the lifestyle, I think Manchester, Jack has made some great friends in Manchester. Some great people. I've got to know some of them myself. But I think, you know, image is a big thing. I think how much your belt is worth, how much your runners are worth. Jack went to Holland and it was literally, like you mentioned, Sligo. That's what I would imagine Camberwarden was. It was just
small little town,
an hour and a half away from Amsterdam, and people just ate, slept and breathed football, you know. And, you know, I remember being over at the Derby and against Heronveen, and the stadium was sold out the day before the Derby for the last training session. And
brilliant.
They were beating 1-0 at home. And we went, I think there was about six of us over, so we went for a meal afterwards and went to a kind of a disco bar after that. And anyway, we were walking through the disco bar and walked across the dance floor, and I looked behind me and there's a fella about 20 stone, 6'5", with Jack pinned up against the wall. So I was thinking, what's going on here? So we're about six was trying to peel this fella off Jack. So Jack goes into training the next day and tells one of the lads who speaks English and Dutch what had happened the night before. And he said, did you not understand what the manager said after the game? You're not to be seen around the town for a week after losing the Derby.
He was a fan.
He was a fan.
He was a fan, yeah.
And we were in a disco.
Tried to eat you.
Yeah, but that was the way it was. Like, and as a kid, like, you know, you obviously, you don't understand. But when you go through them things, like, I didn't do it again. Do you know what I mean? I didn't. If we got beat, I wasn't going out, and I wasn't, you know, I just kind of kept the head down. But, you know, Manchester's obviously a big place. You know, you can go missing in it if you want. And, yeah. You know, small fish in a big pond, really. You know, over there it was big fish, small pond.
Do you look back on those things? As I said, they're not mistakes. You don't look back. You move on, and that's it. Like, you know,
I do. You do look back and you think, what could I have done different? But wouldn't it gave me what I have now? You know, and the reality is, I didn't make me international debut in Holland. I made it here in the League of Ireland. You know, so. I've got to be grateful for where I am at the moment and what I'm doing, and you know, to get it back after, you know, a couple of maybe bouncing around that clubs and it just didn't quite work out and it just wasn't going right, to get it back and to get it to a level where I think I was at before I went to Aberwell, and you know, where I think I'm at now, you know, you've got to be happy with that.
I loved it, the fact that, because there maybe was that view he's coming home, what's the story, you know, whatever. Obviously, I love the league, so get as many good players here in the league and promote it and help it to have you in it. I thought this is going to be brilliant to see Jack playing every week. But I felt at that time you handled yourself brilliantly as well, because there probably was a bit of pressure. There was eyes on you. There was people, you know what I mean? How was he going to react to this? That first stint at Shamrock Rovers, as much as it pains me to say it about Shamrock Rovers, I'm joking, you were obviously outstanding. And you mentioned there that that's where it got you to the Irish thing.
Yeah.
I always felt, and this is the question, I'm only going to ask you one question about the Applewell thing, right? Because I want to talk about obviously where you are now and the here and now and celebrate that, as Niall said. But the Applewell thing, right, I always found when you were here the first stint, so best player in the league, doing it every week, it's a small enough league, but obviously it's growing all the time and there's more eyes on it, more exposure, all that kind of stuff. And you were the talk of the town every week. You'd go out, you'd score, you'd set up a goal, Jack's running amok, you'd be on everything social media now, there'd be clips on social media. So whether Stephen Kenny wanted to hear it or not, it was right in front of him, right? Yeah. And it was the talk of the place. The Applewell thing, I know, obviously, Mick, so you had a relationship with Mick and it might have looked lucrative at the time. For me, looking in, I thought, out of sight, out of mind. You go over there and,
yeah,
you know, whether it works out, whether it doesn't. Whereas, again, I look at it now at the moment. I read an article yesterday, Jack in line for a call-up in June, hopefully, you know. Because, again, it's you're the talk of the town. The clip went up the other night. I'm in Daily Mount. You're running the game, running the show. The pass to Mandrea out the other night for the goal, unbelievable. And I just think, like, sometimes like that, that's why I think it's brilliant to be in the league. Because you mentioned there, the perception for years here was, oh, you can't get called up for Ireland playing in this league.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we have a manager now who doesn't, ignores all that and appreciates good, talented, young, skillful, technical players. Yeah. So that was That's the only thing I look at the Applewell thing and think, you're over there knowing who's watching Applewell social media.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that. But I'm not one to stay in a comfort zone just because of the things you said and everything's going well. And, you know, I moved to Holland when I was 19 because I thought that was the best thing for my career at the time. I went back to Blackburn because I thought at the time that was the best thing. I moved to Wigan, Oldham, Kilmarnock. I went to Scotland, you know, because I thought at the time that was the best thing for my career. So I'm going to try and do what I think is the best thing at that time for my career. And I felt, you know, when I looked at the history of the club and, you know, obviously Champions League quarterfinals is a massive club and obviously putting a big package in front of you and saying, you know, this is the plan we have for you. This is what we... You know, and obviously Mick being there, you know, he respected all over the UK, and obviously got the Cardiff job after. So, you know, we felt as if for me going somewhere like that, we could kick on. You know, we thought it's obviously a well respected club, and it didn't work out that way. You know, and you know, we obviously went over there struggling, you know, with an injury, and it just caught up on me, and that was just the way it is, and that just happens in football sometimes, and. You know, when it came to the summer then, I was trying to get myself going. It was the situation that changed, and you know, I had to try and move on. I knew probably in March that I had to move on. So it wasn't ideal, but you know, that's just life, that's just football, you know. We went over there, I loved that over there. I was over there, my missus had a great time, you know what I mean. I loved the city, I met some great people, you know, some good people that I'll still speak to, you know, when I'm finished playing football. You know, obviously Mick showing a lot of faith in me, Terry Connor showing a lot of faith in me, bringing me out there, putting their neck on the line, really, you know. So you have to respect that as well, and you have to be thankful for that. And it obviously, in my head, showed me that, you know, I'd impressed these guys when I was with Ireland, and for them to come and try and take me, and, you know, to obviously get me to Applewell. I'd obviously made an impression on them, and I thought, you know, if I'm making that impression on them and I go out there and do well for them, then, you know, other managers or whatever, if it goes well there, brilliant. But if not, other managers, you know, will be looking at that and they might ring Mick or whatever and say, can we get Jack in here? You never know, you know. So it was just what I thought was best for my career at that time, and that's just the way it is. You don't have a crystal ball, or whatever you call it, and
I totally get that answer, and I love that about you, is that you're so honest and upfront and genuine. Any time I hear you speak, give an answer, I always think he's telling the truth, like, you know what I mean. That's all he can do, the lad. On it now, right, you're back, that's the Applewell thing. it might be unfair to ask you this, Jack, but we can all see in the games on Friday, but Niall, who's obviously followed your career closely, how well is he playing at the minute?
I don't think he's at his best.
Okay.
I think there's more to come.
I like this guy. There's a future in the punditry for this man. I'm all over this. He speaks a lot of sense. You can sit here with me anytime you want. Now. Stewie's gone.
Well, look, you're in,
now. Again, I'm just being honest. Like, you know, like I'll give you an example. Like, Jack played Feyenoord in front of 50,000 people one day, and it was on Sky Sports and live and on the ball. You know, myself and Jack's agent, Graham Barrett and Steele, were over there, and you know, we all had an opinion on the ball. He was obviously Jack. He was very good. Off the ball, we thought he was dreadful, like, you know. So anyway, we're in the lounge after, and Jack has obviously known the game is on telly. On the ball, he's probably done well, but off the ball, there was nothing done. And he bounces into the lounge in Feyenoord, you know, fancy place, bounced in with confidence sky high. And we're thinking, like, he hasn't a clue what we're going to say here, like, you know. So, well, lads, how'd you think of that? And brutal, like, you know, he couldn't believe it. The shock in his face
really,
just dropped, like, you know. He's, what do you mean brutal? Like, and he had a kind of an argument with us, and we were saying this, that, and the other, pointing out, like, you know, we were, again, just being honest, like, you know, probably in hindsight, probably not the right time to say it to a footballer straight after a game. But anyway, a couple of days later, obviously Jack throws his dummy out of pram. A couple of days later, the team of the week in Holland is released, and obviously the game's on Sky Sport.
He's sending you screenshots and all this.
Myself and Graham and Steele, we all got it. Like, what do you know? Like, you know, team of the week was sent on. You know nothing. Told you. You know, so,
brilliant. I love that.
No, like, I think there's so much more to come from Jack. Like, you know, he's 26 now. He's in his prime, like, you know. He could play for another 10, 12 years, like, and I just think there's some more will come, like, you know, the more games he's playing. I think if you had a seen Jack, myself and Graham and Jackie, where it was Jackie who, when he was at Kilmarnock, it was Jackie who kind of had been over there with him for a while, and she spoke to myself and Stephen and said, I'm worried about him, like, he needs to come home, like, you know, because at that stage, I think it was the first time, I may be wrong, but I think it was the first time where he'd been involved in senior football where it was one game a week. And at the time, Kilmarnock were top of the table, you know, and which is unheard of. And Steve Clark was in charge. And because they were winning, you know, you knew from that Saturday, it was going to be at least 2 weeks before he even got a chance, because they weren't going to change the team the following week. And Jackie and Jody spent a bit of time over with him. They both came back actually and said, like, we're worried about him, he needs to come home. And me and Steven probably talked privately and said, ah, no, look, he'd be fine, like, you know, he'd pick himself up, he'd be fine. And Jackie said, no, he's coming home, like, you know. So I remember Jack came home at Christmas, and myself and Jackie and Graham went out for a bit of lunch with Jack. And as long as I know, Jackie's never let anyone speak for him. You know, anyone, like, you know, since he's 5, 6, 7, he spoke for himself. That was the first time I'd seen him let his mom speak for him. And he was probably, what, 23 at the time?
Yeah,
23. He was 23. Pale. He looked terrible.
I was gone.
His head was down, you know, and his mom just did the speaking for him and said, he's coming home. And if you would have told me that day, that was probably January, if you would have told me that day.
So that's only 3 years ago.
Yeah, that was 23.
He's 26 now. Yeah, about 3, 4 years ago. If you would have told me that day, that in 3 months' time he'd play for Ireland, or he'd be in the Ireland squad, I'd have you know checked you in somewhere, like, because I'd never seen him like that, you know. And it was kind of mother's instinct. She knew he wasn't right, and I suppose he was lucky in a sense, because I think Stephen Bradley probably sees some similarities in himself to Jack, like, you know. And I think the other thing about English football is that the lifespan of managers, they don't have time to kind of give that bit of
arm around the shoulder.
You know, it's probably a year, like, you know. So they'd rather just move that problem and get, you know, someone who's been there and done it in. But I think Stephen Bradley kind of seen something in Jack, and obviously knew Jack for a long time, and he just gets him, like, you know. He has time to give to Jack, and as I said he probably sees a little bit of himself in him. And as well, like, I think the coaches up there, like, I mean, if you had to see, there was a picture of Jackie came on against Rangers or something like that. There was a picture going around the Kilmarnock kit, like, and I sent it to him and I said, my God, like, stay out of McDonald's, like, you know.
Really, yeah.
And, like
within, look, sure, there's not a pick on you.
And within 3 months, and he texts me back saying, that's just a tight Puma kit, like, you know. And,
team of the week.
I'll take it.
Within a couple of months, like, he's in the Ireland squad, like, you know.
Amazing.
I couldn't believe it. I think I was on a Stags in Benidorm at the time, and I was flying home on a Sunday. and we found out over there. And that evening when I got home, I drove him out to the team hotel. It was probably a bit surreal, like, you know, because I know he trained with the team before, but he knew he was part of the squads that time, like, you know. And obviously we kind of from Ballybock to Castleknock, we decided how we were all going to get to Gibraltar, like, you know.
Brilliant. So, was that the lowest ebb, Jack, that time around with Kilmarnock and your mum coming over?
Yeah, definitely.
As Niall said, you don't let anyone speak for you, but you knew your heart to heart.
I knew I was struggling, like, you know. I wasn't myself, and it wasn't because I wasn't working hard, or I wasn't dedicating myself. I just couldn't get going for whatever reason. I couldn't get a chance, you know. I couldn't start a game, and as Flinner said there, I was going in, we were winning. I went there in September. I had a shit pre-season at Oldham because I was obviously looking to get out. Obviously, what's going on at the club now is terrible, but we could see that happening, and, you know, I needed to leave, and I left, and I went up to Kilmarnock, and Steve Clark, he was brilliant, like, you know. He was great. I loved his training sessions. I loved everything about him, but I just wasn't going to play. I wasn't going to get in the team. They were flying, and I was disappointed. I was low, and I just couldn't see a way where, you know, I'd get a move or I'd get in the team, because at the end of the day, you know, I was at Kilmarnock and I wasn't playing, and I wasn't going to move somewhere from there. I'm probably, you know, somewhere where I thought I should be playing, you know. So
somewhere higher, like,
yeah, yeah, maybe, like, yeah. You know, I probably thought I was going there as a stepping stone, and then it just turned out to be, you know, completely different. And I was just stuck in a rut, and I was thinking, how do we get out of here? What do we do next? And
one thing I have to say, this is the first time I've spoken to you, Niall, and honestly, you come across really well. I can see. Firstly, I admire you for what you did in terms of his dad and the friendship, and I think that's a fantastic story. That was part of the reason, because we've all heard Jack interviewed in different places, but I think that's absolutely brilliant on your part. Also, you speak with a lot of sense, and the one thing from your point of view, Jack, obviously I love you as a player, but you've come through a lot of adversity, and it's not just obviously starting off, going back with your dad, that's the worst thing you'll ever go through, but then the clubs, the knockbacks, if you want to call it that, or why the reasons, as you say, things didn't work out. But here you are now on the verge of, as I say, looking well, happy.
Look, I've been lucky.
But you have to make your own luck as well at times.
No, 100%, but I've been very fortunate that I've been in situations where, you know, it's allowed me to go to Man City, or it's allowed me to, you know, go on loan to Holland, or, you know, these kind of things. I've been very lucky. I don't know many other Irish players that have played in the Dutch league or the Cypriot league. You know,
it's a good quiz question.
You know,
that.
Yeah, like it's hard to think of one off the top of your head. Yeah. You know, and I've done probably both. So, you know, you can't say it's all been bad luck, or understand what you're saying and come through a lot. And
but that's, you know, something. The reason I say it is because, as I say, people only see maybe the good things in terms of the goals, the assists, stuff on social media. Now you're happy, chat, like, obviously smiley lad. But if people actually took a minute and sat back and thought, like, well, it's not all, you know, kind of as, like, Niall's been there and saw the moment in Kilmarnock or whatever. Or so I don't think sometimes when people view players, we had this with Chris Forrester. He came in here one day last year. It was unbelievable the way he spoke, but people only see him on a Friday night and have a perception of him just how they see him on Friday night. Yep. But they don't even think for one second, well, what's he like Monday to Friday? Or 100%. What's he like at home? Or what's he like? Or does he have good days, bad days, whatever? Like us all, we're all 100%. Human at the end of it. Yep. So I think people only view you through the football and scoring a goal.
Yeah.
But that's why I say you should be admired for all the other stuff that you've come through as well.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that. It's not been easy, you know, but it's life. And if I wasn't, you know, playing football, I would have had to do it in another walk of life. I still would have had to, you know, go through what I went through as a young kid. I would have had to been there for my family. I still would have had to make decisions that, you know, benefited myself in a different career, or, you know, whatever I would have done. Although I don't know what that would have been, because I knew I was going to play football from a young age. But I still would have had to make decisions, and I look back now and I hope that, you know, if I wasn't a footballer, I would have made decisions and right decisions for myself and for my family at that time. Although I can't say if I would have, because football was my distraction, really, you know.
I
think at certain points in his career and in his life, I suppose, he's been lucky in a sense that he's had crucial people either come into his life or step up. I'm not talking about myself here, by the way. I'm talking about, you know, when his dad passed away, yeah, I gave him lifts and I was there for him a little bit, fine. But, like, his mom was brilliant, his sister, his brother. And Steele lost his dad as well. Like, you know, it wasn't just Jack that lost his dad. So Steele had to kind of deal with things that, while he was dealing with other issues himself because of his dad passing away, he had to kind of answer the phones to
take over that role, the father kind of figure,
to make decisions for Jack. You know, that, you know, I'm sure he probably felt, geez, I hope I'm making the right decision here, like, you know.
Which can be a burden at times.
Yeah, massive. Like, then you have, like, you know, so...
You're obviously very, very close family.
Ah, yeah, really close, yeah.
And that's obviously stems through from the chat, but I would have known this anyway because of Jackie, and she's at the matches and and it's brilliant, like, and I love that because, as I see, I think it's brilliant, but probably partly because of those reasons as well, Niall, there's me now, we're talking here and you don't think of Steve and what he was going through and those type of decisions as well.
Yeah, and I think he was lucky, like, he had a good core group of friends who have stuck by him and, you know, been honest with him, been there from, you know, 4 or 5 and being very, very good to him. Obviously at St. Kevin's he was there at the time. They probably let him, Caffo and Joe Quinn probably let him away with things because they knew his situation. Obviously they knew how talented he was, but they were very good to him, like, you know, and they looked after him and they had his best interest at heart, and they were good to the family, like, you know. And then kind of when he went to Man City, I think the Man City scout Mick Collins at the time told Jackie to, you know, of a particular digs to go to, that would kind of, because of Jack's situation, be very good for him. I think Mickey Richards had been there, and that worked out a treat, like, you know.
He was huge for that point of me in my career, like, going over there. If I had been in the different leagues, you know, I probably would have.
Things
really
like that
really
are so important,
you know,
to people.
And I still talk to him now, and, you know, like, I go to Manchester when I'm in Manchester, I'll visit him, we'll sit down, I'll have dinner with them and stuff, and I love that, you know what I mean?
Brilliant.
And that's what I love about, you know, my career and decisions I've made, and although some of them haven't worked out, you know, the people that you meet and the people that you come in contact with, and, you know, you can't take that for granted as well, you know. It's not all about the football and what happens on the pitch. It's, you know,
good,
it's
people.
Life as well, you know, it's life experiences, and You've got to embrace that.
I love the one, the boys coming in and saying to you that story of Feyenoord. So we mentioned that you're not great for the criticism. I'd say you could count on one hand actually whose opinion would you actually respect, in terms of, I know you might joke about it and send them the screenshots, but just in terms of actually saying, Niall saying that to you, or Steo or Stephen Bradley or whoever it may be, and you'd actually sit back and think, yeah, he has a point there.
No, 100%. You know, Graham, Flinner, Steele,
it'd be a small number.
I'm my mates, you know, and that's it, really. Because if same thing you say, if you're looking at the clips all the time and the things on Instagram and, you know, the passes you've made or whatever, you know, people that maybe don't watch you all the time and don't know your game inside out, they might say, you know, you are brilliant. Whereas if people that know you and know your levels and know what you can do, they might have a completely different opinion, you know. And even though I might think I've played well sometimes, when you talk to people that have actually watched the game and they understand how I play and what is my level, then you've got to take that on board, you know. And there's only probably a handful of people that would.
I mentioned him there, and we've had our differences, Stephen Bradley, but I'd respect him in terms of the fact that the job he's doing, they're the best team in the country, defending champions, 1.5 leagues. I'm only kidding. Obviously 2 league titles and all that stuff, and looking like defending it again. But just, I would certainly applaud him for the fact that he took you in at a time when he was at a low ebb. Just how good and important has he been to you?
Look, if I was him, I wouldn't have signed me, you know. And I've said that before. I wouldn't have signed me the way I was. And, you know, it was only until I had a conversation with Stephen that I actually, you know, really wanted to play football again and really wanted to, you know, try and kick on. I didn't feel that that kind of love from any other manager that I really had.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit under Reggie Williams, kind of felt that, you know.
Paul Doolan, no.
Less said about that.
The crisps.
Yeah. When I came back, I just felt that instantly, and I felt as if he cared about me and wanted me to kick on. Pre-season, it was terrible, like, you know. And I remember being in the Castle Knock Hotel after we played Brentford B team, and I done really well. I played really well in the game, and we were playing Waterford the week later. And I remember getting a phone call off Graham and saying, "Well done, you know, we've played well tonight, but if you hadn't played well tonight, you wouldn't start next week."
Really?
Like,
yeah.
This was going the other way.
Okay.
And I just wasn't like.
So the pre-season was a disaster.
Oh, I was just miles off. I was just wasn't playing well. I couldn't get my legs. I couldn't get that sharp burst that I have over 5 yards, and you know, the twists and the turns and all that kind of stuff. I just couldn't get it going for whatever reason. And I did against Brentford, and then played well against Waterford, and even, you know, the next couple of games after that, I wasn't at my level where. But I was getting fitter and I was getting stronger, and I could feel, look, I'm getting my legs here. So for him to stick with me and to, you know, in the pre-season, he never really pulled me and had a go at me. He always encouraged me and, you know, said, look, you're going well here, you know.
How,
for him to do that, he understood me. Like.
Yeah, because I would have been at Leeds with Steve McPhail, who I absolutely love, and one of the best players I ever saw playing Macker, and a great fella as well, a brilliant fella. Just in terms of, I suppose, the role he has there too. Again, you mentioned how there might be similarities with Stephen Bradley because obviously being in England and come home, but obviously Macker over there as well.
Yeah.
Like the whole Shamrock Rovers thing, Jack, like at the moment, and we mentioned earlier about the kids, and I was up in Roadstone a couple of weeks ago. The setup's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, obviously you've been around clubs and know the game around, not just in England, Europe maybe, in setups and professionalism and all. Like, just where is it at, and in terms of where can it go?
I think it's like with the coaching staff there, I can't say enough good things about them, and I don't want to be here and sound they are unbelievable, and they are unbelievable people. People like Glenn Cronin, not only for what they've done for me.
They're more than welcome on here anytime they want.
Look,
I mean that. I'd love to have them on
for
because
the fist fight.
I wouldn't fight Glenn. I'd leave him. I'd fight Branzer. I do. Look, football, as we mentioned earlier, everyone has opinions, different things. Some agree, some don't agree. In terms of the management side now, because it was going back to adversity, he was on the verge of getting the bullet. Like,
that's,
you know.
It, like, and I think it's resilient, you know.
I think Joey was big for Jack as well, you know. I know Joey a long time. I played with Joey, and I think he was massive for Jack, like, you know. He took no bullshit, like, you know, and he wouldn't let him away with anything. And obviously Ronan Finn as well has been around the block a long time.
Great lad, Ronan,
I think they were big for Jack as well. Pico, obviously, as well, you know. So I think, but going back to what you said a few minutes ago about Jack, like, I've always liked Jack's back against the wall, you know. I'm always happy when, you know, people are doubting him, you know. I always know something's coming. And I think that's a credit to him in a sense that some people crumble, you know, whereas he always finds a way. Like myself and Graham and Steele were at a U Champions League game against Roma, and Jack was playing in midfield, and he was poor, like, you know, couldn't get around the pitch, poor. He probably had a year left in his contract maybe at the time at City. Mm. And this was the year before he went to Holland, and, you know, it wasn't good, and the three of us left and had a chat amongst ourselves when Jack wasn't there. And, you know, I think we came to an agreement that I would speak to Jack the next day and maybe kind of go and, you know, do a bit of extra work outside, you know, training. So I remember having a phone call with Jack, and it didn't go too well. You know, I kind of had done a bit of research and found someone that maybe I thought might be good for him. And, you know, I'd say, I think he was working with, say, 10 Premier League, for example, 10 Premier League players at the time, and Jack asked me to name them, who they were. And out of the 10, 9 were flying and 1 were struggling, and he picked on the one that was struggling and said, why would I go and work with him? So what's he doing? So the conversation ended there, and for 2 days we didn't speak, which was like 2 years. Like, you know, we would have spoke probably 4 or 5 times a day at the time, and we didn't speak for 2 days. But on
those tough conversations, I admire him more than you know after this.
You know what the thing was? I was playing under 19s football in that U Champions League. That's what it was. And we didn't have a game every week. It goes off the Champions League schedule. So it's every, I think, 2-3 weeks. And although you're at Man City and you have the best facilities everywhere, you know, best strength conditioning coaches, whatever, there's nothing like playing games. And I wasn't playing for the, I don't think I was playing for the 18s, because I was on the bench for the reserves, you know, and that's just the way it was. I was on the bench for the reserves, wasn't playing for the 18s because I was obviously travelling with the reserve team. So I was missing out on regular football. So the only regular football that was getting was really in the under 19s. But obviously it's only every two weeks, and then it has a break, and then you play again obviously at Christmas. After Christmas, if you get through, you know. So I was just struggling to get games, and obviously went to work.
There was players at the time in that City team that were a long distance away from Jack's ability that looked a lot better than that day, you know. And I think Graham and Steve will be the first to tell you, like, that, you know, we all love Jack a lot, like, but you kind of have to work yourself up and have plenty of energy before you make one of those phone calls, like, you know, because, you know.
So
you,
how did it go?
So we ended the conversation abruptly. He didn't listen to me, I thought. And I got off my phone and went on Instagram 5 seconds later, and he just followed the lad who I told him about. So, but I didn't let on I knew about that. So anyway, 2 days passed. I didn't ring him. He didn't ring me. And then 2 days later, he rang me. So I kind of was quite short with him. I answered, how's things, you all right? And he said, yeah, all good. Yeah, I booked 10 sessions with that lad. And I said, oh, very good. And I'd kind of had a feeling that might happen. And literally from there, within 6 weeks, I don't think it was even just the physicality stuff. I think it was a mental thing, you know. I think
his mind was clear.
He was driving to Birmingham to go and see this lad. So it was, you know, it was giving him a focus to, you know, to have something to do later on. And he drove down to Birmingham, an hour and a half drive probably, was it?
It was about that.
An hour and a half there, an hour and a half back. And, you know, just to do a 45-minute session. But it was a mentality thing. It was listening, taking advice on board, because nobody knows it all, like, you know. And literally within 6 weeks, you wouldn't believe the difference. He'd signed a new deal with City. He, you know, he went then, that was agreed then, that when he was signing his new deal, he'd go to Holland, you know. And I'm not so sure, I don't think that was the be-all and end-all, but I'm not so sure if he hadn't taken the three of our advice on board that day, that, you know, things would have worked out as they did, like, you know.
I'm sure it was. Like, that's important stuff, important advice.
Yeah, like, you know, but that's, you surround yourself with good people and you hope that.
And Graham, well, I suppose we haven't really mentioned Graham.
Yeah.
And he's been one that's constant as well.
Yeah, look, since I was 13, probably 14, I've always respected Graham's opinion, you know what I mean? The same as when, in the early days, I'm McLaughlin.
Yeah.
I would have, you know, listened to them, and they obviously had good relationships with people at Man City and a good relationship with my family, so.
I played against Graham in the FAU Cup Arsenal, some U team there.
We're obviously really close, you know, and he's obviously done a lot for me. You know, I can't speak highly enough of Graham. I think, come on the podcast and I speak about the gaffer Graham and stuff, and it's very, you know, just repetitive stuff. But he's done an awful lot for me, and
he cares, you know.
Yeah,
he cares.
Genuine.
Like, I remember when Jack was at Blackburn, like, myself and Graham would have spent a lot of time together in Oldham and Wigan, and, you know, he would have rented a car. We would have flew somewhere, he would have rented a car, and we would have spent hours driving from the airport back to the airport. Like, and he genuinely cares. Like, Jack has had, obviously, Eamon as well at the start, but one agent, or one since he was 14, you know. Like, I know, I've heard stories now of lads who are 16 and they're on their 10th agent. Like, you know, I mean,
it's a problem now, the agent stuff.
I don't know if it's the agent that's the problem, you know. I don't think, like, obviously, like.
No, but just in terms of, I suppose, the world that's become, that they don't have the player's best interest, a lot of them. You'd question who is the genuine ones, who's not.
So it's what you value more. Is it maybe thinking that you can maybe nick a move somewhere, or do you value the personal relationship? And for me, it's probably the personal relationship, and I would like to back myself to think that if I do my business, I'll get a move if I deserve
that'll take care of itself,
and I'll get the right advice when that time comes to, if this is the right move, if it's not the right move, or whatever, you know.
So 26 now, Jack, you've been so good with your time, by the way, lads, thanks a million. But obviously we touched on at the very start, Daly Mount Friday night, another good victory. We mentioned, I think that's 6 out of the last 8, you're unbeaten now. Toughest test yes to come in Sligo Friday night. Obviously the game Friday night, but just in terms of, it is coming up, the whole Irish thing again, and there is talk, there's chatter, whether you like it or not, it's there. I don't want to put you on the spot or anything like that. Niall is probably best place to ask, even in terms of the fact that, how much attention do you kind of pay to that? Is it hard to kind of, because you're on social media, different
things.
Yeah,
of course, things. Like you see things and, you know, you obviously see.
Probably a better, sorry, even maybe a better way of phrasing that. Say, because you're very close, you could be at home tonight watching the Champions League, like you'd be having a chat and be saying, Niall, I'd love to be in the squad or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. As mates, what is that the kind of chat that goes on? Or
you would love, you obviously would, like, there's every player in the country would love to be in the squad, you know, and that's just the way it is. I'm not, I wouldn't sit here and say that I don't want to be in it, or I don't think I should be in it, or I don't think I deserve to be in it, or, you know, I deserve to be in it. I would never say that. I just say, of course, you would love to do it, because I've done it before and I've been involved in squads, I've been involved in big games. I've obviously played a couple of times, and that feeling is, you know, obviously special, and it's unbelievable to be walking across the Aviva and looking across and seeing your family there. The same way it was when I was at Shamrock Rovers and we're in an FAI Cup final, and, you know, you see all your family there and you're in the Aviva. It's an unbelievable feeling, you know. So these moments don't come around all the time, and, you know, your career is short. So if you get the chance to, you know, be in them, of course you want to be in them, and you know, I'll certainly do my best to try and get called up 100%.
Well, you're doing yourself no harm. Obviously, you mentioned there you feel as though you're getting up to that level. The last,
I can still,
couple of weeks.
I can play. Like I'm a realist as well. I can play better. You know, I can certainly do better. You know, and I can play better. And I can't say I'm at the very top of my game right now, because I'm not. Do you know what I mean? And that's just me being real. And that's from me watching me games and same way people talking about me and people that know me and have seen me play before, you know, taking their advice. So I am at the top of my game now. But I certainly feel as if I'm getting there.
You mentioned, Niall, the fact that you were, I think you were just back from the Stags and Ballybock to Castleknock and all. Was that a case of...
Has a bit of a ring to it.
It does, yeah, I like it, yeah. Was that your own little phrase you come up with?
Yes.
You'll be back here, don't worry. In terms of from yourself, because you're the star now today, but just... In terms of bringing Jack over, you got the word that you were in Benidorm and you came home and he must have been over the moon. But because of all you've been through with him as well from that young age and stepping up and helping out and the family friendship, you must have been very proud as well.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And then to see him play, like, you know.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Obviously, the first time he got a call up, he didn't play. You know, we all went to Gibraltar and he didn't play. But just to be in and around the squad, like we used to go, myself and Steve would go meet him for a coffee in the hotel after training or whatever, and really enjoyable moments and moments that we'll remember for a long time. But when he did eventually make his debut, like, you know, I don't know, was it two squads, three squads?
I think so, yeah.
It was incredible, like, you know, it was just for his mum and his sister and his family to see, like, obviously I was proud as well, like, you know, but like obviously John came into my mind as well, like, you know, but for his mum and stuff like that, just to see, you know, and I go back to, like, people are quick to knock people, like, and stuff like that, you know, but like from what he'd been through to get himself in that position, and as I said, 3 months prior to that, he looked a million miles away from that. Like, you know, so
it's amazing that, isn't it? People
incredible.
Wouldn't have known that.
No,
yeah,
people don't. Know. People don't know what goes on. Yeah. You know, like,
and they're quick to judge, and they're quick to.
And I get
to
that
things.
As well at times. You know, fans pay their money, and opposition fans like to have a bit of stick and give a bit of stick and all that. I get that, but people don't know what goes on. You know, and you know, I seen, as I said, that picture of Jack when he was younger sticks with me. Like, you know, and just every time someone gives him a bit of stick, I suppose that pops back into my head a little bit, like, you know. So that's why I'd be a little bit protective. And but yeah, look, hopefully there's many more caps to come, like, you know.
Oh, look, I think it's brilliant, Niall, and you've blown me away really with the story. It's absolutely amazing. A real good lifelong friend, Jack, which I know you're absolutely grateful for. Steo as well, your mum Jackie, who I've become a fan of as well, and she should be admired as well for all you've done. But just in terms of, I suppose, the league coming up, the Irish stuff, hopefully there's probably, I wouldn't say, do you ever feel as though, because you are a bit of a poster boy in the league, if you want to use that phrase, or the main player as such or whatever, I think you give inspiration and hope to young lads that can actually think. For years when we were growing up, it was always England, 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 and people had that perception. I spoke about even young lad going over thinking, what are we going over here for? Yeah. Whereas now, actually, and Niall's involved with the setup with Shells, a young lad playing, my young fella, I see the opportunities that's there for kids, the academy set up in Shamrock Rovers, that young fellas and families, more importantly, parents, that they don't have to send their kid away, that they can actually see there's a route here and you could represent your country off the back of playing for Bohemians or Shamrock Rovers or whoever.
Look, we should look at the League of Ireland. I know we don't, but we should look at the league and think we have stars in the league. You know what I mean? We have players here that, you know, we're proud of, and players that young kids look up to. And I think we're getting more of that now with the academies obviously joining and the kids going to the games and watching the games and seeing, you know, the likes of Dan Mandrew, Dawson Devoy at Bowes. They want to be, you know, in the Bowes team, or they want to be in the Shamrock Rovers team. When I was a kid growing up, you didn't really want that, you know what I mean? You wanted to go away. And that's just the way it was. And I think it's changing a little bit. Of course, kids now still look at Man United and all this, and they want
but
to go away.
But I think there's a bigger... I brought the little lad over to Spurs in United there before Christmas, and I bring him down to Dalymount, and he gets more a kick out of going to Dalymount than he did. Like, because they're so disconnected from that world, you know.
Yeah.
I used to love going to Oldham and Wigan, and I mean, it was. I remember going over.
Because there's a connection there, real.
I remember going over to on New Year's Day one day. I flew over, and Jack was gone the night before, and I drove his car down to Shrewsbury with Owen Stokes, actually. Don't know if you know Stokesy. And we drove down there, like, in those little stadiums. I think Oldham and Bury at the time hated each other, and we were in the away end in Bury, and it was just incredible. Like, you know, it was real football.
Yeah.
And
fellas that care,
really care, like, you know. And I think here now, I think, like, I've been to a couple of games recently, and it's just the atmosphere is brilliant. Like, you know, I was in Talca for Bowes and Shells, and incredible, like, you know. And my young lad walks down the road, and, you know,
loves it.
I'd like to think he dreams of playing in Talca one day, you know what I mean? You know,
but that's the point where I think they look at it now and it's close to them. You know, like my young fella goes down to Dalymount. He was all mad about Georgie Kelly, and he thinks, you know, like, I could be playing with, like, Georgie Kelly. Whereas he was watching Harry Kane or Ronaldo, and it's a whole different world to them, you know.
Well, we used to go down and watch the Shells games when we were kids, like, you know what I mean. Obviously, when Shells were doing really well in the Champions League at that stage, you know, that was like. We used to love that, you know what I mean? But we used to go down just to rob the balls and kick them out of college and run back to the house. But I think it's getting like that more.
Do you,
you
feel
know?
The perception is changing?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I think, you know, people obviously respecting the league a little bit more now. Obviously, now on teams are, you know, full time and putting a lot of effort into the academy. I just think it's backing and it could be it could fly, like, you know.
But on the poster boy thing, Al, I think there could be still more done as well on that type
absolutely
of thing.
Absolutely,
well,
yeah. You know? And like, I'm involved. I try and push it, promote it, but I'm talking media outlets, all sorts. I see buses go around the Gaelic fellas. There should be Jack Byrne plastered over buses. You know, we don't do enough.
Andrea, whoever it is, there's plenty of
great players
here.
Great,
like,
players.
You know, and they're approachable as well. Like, you know, I've never seen Jack walk past a kid and not have a picture or anything. Like, I mean, you can't get that in England. You know what I mean? You can't get close to them. You know, like, Jack was up at my little lad's game a few weeks ago, like, and he's talking to kids. And do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's, they're approachable. They're close. You can get close to them, like, you know. And that, I think people feel that as well. Like, whereas it's a million miles away.
Well, you mentioned earlier, right at the start, like, we don't do enough. We talk ourselves down, like, at times, you know. Now, hopefully, as I say, we have a manager of an international team that only wants to talk them up, which is great. Like, and that might filter down to all levels. But look, you've been absolutely brilliant with your time. Niall, I really admire the whole story in the background.
No problem. Thanks
I've gotten to know you, Jack, over the years, the last 2 or 3 years. Great lad. And most importantly, you're a great lad. Never mind the football, you're a great lad. Mum and family and all that. It's a pity Stewie wasn't here. I know he would have loved to have a chat as well. But I hope Sligo Rovers beat you 3-0 on Friday. That's all, folks. Episode 9. Hope you enjoyed that. I absolutely loved it. Just want to say a big thanks to Paul Morris as well, our producer, and of course Benetti Menswear, who sponsor our show every week. And we have to get a suit for Niall. I promised him a suit. We'll dress him as good as me.
I don't want one of them.
That's all, folks. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Cawley's Call, powered by Benetti Menswear. For more interviews like this, please subscribe to my podcast or follow on all my social media channels.